Morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All the people online watching us today, blessings to you and your family. You know, there was this couple who always argued, whether in little things or much, they argued. And that wall, that invisible wall, was building itself up. It was building itself up so much that they couldn't even hardly see each other when it comes to loving each other. They couldn't see each other to notice each other's pain. They couldn't see each other to notice how much hurt one is having in their life. It got so big that one person stayed upstairs and the other downstairs. It got so bad for months that only thing they can talk about is what's going on with the children. And it affected them entirely because of the relationship they had with each other. So it was one day in the middle of the night, the husband came downstairs in the kitchen, cleaning the kitchen, banging pots, making noise, singing, making all this ruckus. And the woman, upset at the noise, came downstairs in the kitchen and said, "What is going on here? Why is you making so much noise?" And the husband turned to her and said, "I miss your voice." The husband turned to her and said, "Forgive me." And the woman moved with passion, tears in her eyes, hugged him. And then they became a couple again.
Amen.
Today, it's the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And today's theme is about forgiveness. Now, we all got to go through this, no matter if you're a child with legal reason on how to interact with your family and your classmates, to your old. We all have this thing about forgiveness.
Amen.
If people don't know the definition of it, you have to ask. You ask our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's our Christian duty to always want to forgive. And that's true. There's no sins that we can commit today that God will not forgive us.
Amen.
But one. And that's sin against the Holy Spirit. You can look it up. You can look it up. He's merciful. He's forgiven. He's here with us today.
Amen.
Trying to tell you in your seat, in your pews, do you understand what the word is that I'm trying to tell you? But in the most part, on our Christian life, on our journey, mercy is always given. But all of us go through that one thing that always pulls us back, and that's how to forgive one another. That's always the case. You know, and I reflect on this gospel about the king. How full of mercy he was to see the act of repentance to that person who he knew couldn't pay off his debt. But he reached into his heart. He seen by his repent that he needed time to pay the loan. But he forgave the loan. He forgave the loan, noticing that if that loan was forgiven, that was the monkey off of his back to go out and be a better person. And with the common sense, come back and pay that loan. Let that that love of Christ moved in his heart. But it didn't happen. He went out, grabbed someone else who owed him money, and became Satan. He became another person. Pay me back what you owe. Give me mine. Failing to see that just because the king had granted him forgiveness of that loan, how can him, in his heart, demand this from that other servant? There's always somebody watching. In our dealings with each other, in our families, in our workplaces, and even in our church, someone's always watching. So why not exercise that love that you have for the Father with someone else? How's your prayer life? Can you see your body getting healed? Can you see the blessings coming in the mailbox? Can you see the change in your life that affects someone else? But if you don't have that piety, if you don't possess Jesus and all his magnificent divine nature and his blessings, if you don't have the love in your heart, how can you forgive someone? How can you say, I'm sorry? People just want to hear words. They want to hear sincerity, and they want the deeds to go behind it. We have this journey. We have this journey of faith. And along the lines, we must forgive. That's what the scripture says. That's what God says. Now, do we have to wait around and watch him repent? No. The person who grabbed the servant should have repented. The king didn't see that. The king granted him favoritism and told him to go on his way. But we have to forgive no matter what it is. Turn the other cheek. That's in scripture. But this gospel, it reminds us about how we pray to our Father, where we have to say, forgive us our trespasses, yes, as we forgive others. Is that true? Are those just words too? Is that just something the pastor wants you to profess? Is that just words that you come to church and just go through the formality? Words have to mean something. What did our Lord do? He opens his arms and says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Those words mean something. True words, true repentance, true humility. And every time you come before him, whether it's in mass, whether it's in adoration, whether it's in scripture itself, you come before Jesus. You come before God saying those same words, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. Did you truly do that? Today's gospel is supposed to cut you today. It's supposed to cut through that soul, cut through that bone, so you can reveal the real and true nature of yourself. But you're supposed to heal with Jesus. Amen. You're supposed to heal in his words. And that right there is a conversion of heart. Because yes, he has to do all the work. But he's going to guide you through it if you're listening to him. And you have to listen to him. But that story that I told you with the married couple, they've already professed that at the wedding. And when they professed that at the wedding, they were probably going through the motions. In their minds, they probably was on a honeymoon already. I mean, it was married people, you know what I mean? But the thing is, in the moment, you're supposed to realize that you're supposed to forgive. When you're in marriage, you have to forgive, no matter what. You're gonna have your opinion, you're gonna have your real, you have to forgive, and you gotta take it on the cheek. Amen. But everything has to be done in love. Everything has to be done in love. God's love, agape love. There's only one kind of love, and that's the true love that comes from our Father. And if you've experienced that as I've experienced it, you should have a view that Jesus should be the person that's leading your life. And it ain't what you want, it's what the Lord is putting before you that you should get. Are you listening? Are you listening to Jesus? In the first reading, you know, from Sirach, anger, hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. I shook my head to that because that's true. Because it's the normal thing of life. We go through families, we got bills to pay, we have situations with kids. It's the normal negative feedings that we get to try to get us off of that path of righteousness. It makes us angry too. We don't like handling it, but you gotta handle it. But to do an unjust thing to your neighbor, to hold that sin, that problems, that situation, to hold it in your life, it only chops you down. It only makes you sick. Yes. Because God can't answer your prayers. Forgive. Because your Father has forgiven you. Amen. He loved us first. And always loved us, no matter what. We sang in the responsorial song that He is merciful. Yes, He's merciful. He's merciful to forgive. He's merciful when you just notice that you need His Son. He's merciful knowing that He's always there waiting for you, no matter what. No matter what. And it says here, remember in your last days to set enmity aside. Anger, hate, bias, all that, it kills you. Yes. It kills you mentally, and it can kill you physically if you don't do anything about it. That's why throughout the whole gospel, throughout the whole Bible, God always tells people to turn the other cheek. He says, receive His mercy, receive His grace, because He wants something better for you. And that's truth. And that's a healing way to reconcile humanity to Himself. He tells you. It's hard. You know, I don't know everybody's situation in life. I may know you personally and not personally. I might just see you. I might not even just know your name. But know this. Know this. That He waits for you. Amen. While you're doing other things thinking that you're waiting for Him? No. He has given you everything you've asked. It might not be what you've asked. It might be the alternative, but the alternative is to notice that you need Jesus, to notice that you need his mercy. But how are you going to understand his mercy and forgiveness and his tenderness and his concupiscence? How are you going to understand it all unless you come to Jesus? Unless you experience it. Now, even our people who can't make it to church, he forgives you. No matter what you're going through, he forgives you too. He's there with you in spirit also. Because the church prays for you. And we praise for all our sick, all the people who has difficulty, all the St. Martin people who comes here and pray with us. We pray with you. So no matter what you're going through, he's there with you. But going back to the fifth petition of our Father, indeed, everything is in him. Because as a child of the Heavenly Father, we have been given his love to forgive. We've been given piety. And that segment is very high on God's list to forgive people. Because he puts the goodness in everyone. He puts his love in everyone. So, if we don't forgive, how can we receive the mercy that we're asking for? How can we get our prayers answered if we don't give people a chance to, you know, a chance to experience the forgiveness? We can only receive his mercy if we bury the hatchet. Well, Deacon, look, this guy owed me money for this many years, and every time I see this person, he doesn't mention it. This person has done this to me. This person has said that to me. He said this the wrong way. I don't like his attitude, her attitude. Sounds like a marriage. Sounds like a marriage. But we're the wife of Christ. And we're not supposed to have that kind of stuff in us. We're married to Christ. And we're supposed to be, as a Christian, on the path, we're supposed to be one way, and that's loving to him, allowing him to be the center of our life so he can continue to bless us and he can continue to give us his mercy.
Amen.
So yes, it's a marriage. We have to understand that that's a symbol. And it's not just I can just put it as a symbol, that's a reality. That we're supposed to put to death the hate. We're supposed to put to death the bias and the racism. And all the stuff you are being puffed up thinking that you're the last person who said whatever. And as he forgave us at last moment. But this is the moment where we can change all that if you accept his son who came down, who grew up, who went through all the stuff that we were going through now. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. That's our goal. But we're supposed to bring people with us. So how can you take people with you on that same journey if that's the way you're acting? Now, I'm just speaking rhetorically. I'm not really speaking to a certain person. But our action towards Jesus is what I'm saying. But we have an outlet. We have an outlet to the Father. We have that bridge, and that bridge, the toll is a very high price, and all he asks you for is yourself. Amen. If you give him to yourself, I guarantee, and if you're willing to be converted of sin, if you're willing to put away the stuff all the stuff that's against spirit, he will guide you. And that's where the sacrament of reconciliation comes. That door is a doorway. It's a step closer to heaven. And it doesn't matter who's in there, but we know one thing. God is in there. And he's the only one that can forgive sins. He's the only one that can forgive sins. He uses people to come to his love. But we must go there before we must come here.
Preach.
We have to be in a right state to receive him. We have to be in the right mind. That's where all these graces just showers down like a storm. And when you have all those graces, do you know what you receive? You receive Mary, you receive Joseph, you receive all God's saints who would praise you for doing that. It's a good thing to have Christ. But if you don't forgive, how can your heavenly Father forgive you? Keep that in mind.
Amen.
Keep it in mind. Again, I don't know everybody's situation, but we are always in a situation where we have to judge our Christian life versus humanity. It's always a choice. And we always choose the latter. Because the good can come out in the end. I'm not supposed to have that kind of thing. Christ comes first in your life.
Amen.
His mercy and his compassion comes first in your life. The good comes from Christ. So when we come together on Sundays, we're supposed to praise him, even though he will forgive our sins, no matter what. Lay it on the altar. Because they're convicted. They're forgiven and no more thought to by our God. But Jesus took it all. And in that sacrament, that's the sacrament that we can adore, that we can continue to adore in our families, in our church life, in our workplace, and even the people outside hanging on the corner asking for money. You know what I'm talking about. People that are in need, poor. We supposed to be equipped with that light, with that everlasting divine light to give to one another regardless of who they are and where they come from. And when we have that, our Heavenly Father sees that.
Amen.
Not Tom, Dick, and Harry. Because it doesn't matter. It matters when he knows that you're doing the right thing. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, make the choice today. Make the choice to come to Christ. Make the choice to get that burden off of you. Take advantage of reconciliation. Take advantage of it in any way possible, because that's a step towards the goodness of Christ. That's the step towards getting mercy and being engulfed in his grace. So love God with your heart, all your heart, because he loved you first. Amen.
Amen.